Could everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Welcome.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the board. My name is John Knipe. I'm with Wildan, and presenting here this evening just a very brief outline of our proposal to the district for these interim services. By way of background, the Wildan is a member of the Wildan Group of Companies, which began in 1964. The four companies are comprised of Wildan, the engineering arm, if you will, Muni Financial, Arroyo Geotechnical, and American Homeland Solutions. Our expertise is not only in design, but in providing staffing. So we have the capability and the experience to provide these different staffing levels, as well as review of the design to your district. We provided you with a proposal of our services to be provided, as well as a statement of qualifications, both in wastewater, as well as our financial firm. Be happy to answer any questions. Just want to make it real brief.
Okay. Do I have any questions from the board members at this time? Mr. Fiché, did you have a question?
John, I know you discussed this at the last meeting, but just a real quick synopsis and summary of all the services that you can provide. And I know you've already touched on it a little bit. Maybe you can just expand just a little bit more on the things that your company is able to do.
Okay. What we have is we've provided general management to cities, public works departments, special districts, in a very general format as public works directors, district engineers, city engineer, on different levels at different times. Now, this may be because of retirements, losing someone to another agency. Whatever the case may be, we can always and have the people with the experience to provide this type of assistance. It may come in the terms of staffing, in terms of overload help, special project assignments. We have engineers with that type of experience. Then you take probably from our design arm a little bit more experience in preliminary studies, whether it be road design, drainage. In this case, we're talking about the wastewater system, converting the existing community from a basic private on-site disposal or septic tank system, if you will, to a collection system of some degree, whichever manner. There's options out there, to central treatment. We also have that expertise to provide those types of studies, take a look at what the options are, start bringing information back to your board. So we can also provide those types. It just depends on what the board would like us to, you know, assist. Quite a few communities. If you take in terms of newly incorporating communities, the vote has just happened and all of a sudden they need an entire staff. They need four departments: your public works department, your building and safety, planning, finance. We've provided that to probably in excess of 25 cities that are newly incorporated. Newly formed districts, special districts such as your own, a couple. But the type of function is very similar in terms of operation management, what needs to be done, provide the service to the community, organize it in a manner that provides those services cost effectively. So, yes, we do provide newly formed or in transition services to various communities and districts, yes.
And one other question, I think you may or may not have said this, maybe went by me, but what do you think your average experience and years for the employees that you employ as a company? How many years experience do they have in the field of whatever field they may be working in?
Well, in the case of myself, probably started in wastewater treatment in excess of 30 years ago. In the case of who we are proposing to be your interim district manager, in excess of 25 years. Some of our other team members, 30-plus and 30-plus in wastewater collection, treatment designs, things of that sort. Typically what you find with Wildan as a company as a whole and our employees, that's just their overall experience. But what you'll also find is that they've been with us for a number of years as well. You're welcome.
Any other questions, Director Tech? Director Sassenia?
Hi, Mr. Knipe. Good evening. One of the things, in addition to day-to-day running of the show, that we're going to need some guidance with is a salvage plan, a preparation of a salvage plan to look at what has happened over the past month or so, what we can take from the construction that's gone on, and where we can turn that tinker with it. Some of us are very serious about looking at a pressure system, low pressure system, as opposed to a gravity collection system, and I want to make sure you have the capability of performing that sort of analysis for us.
I feel we do. One of our team members that will be proposing to work on that evaluation, let me just step back a moment to understand that your interim general manager won't be able to handle, you know, all of these duties. No. He'll be requiring assistance, and we'll be ready to provide him with that. And another one of our team members that I just mentioned a moment ago with 30 years plus of experience has experience with step systems or pressure systems. Or modifications thereof. There are several systems out there, several alternatives to take a look at.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Director Sennett?
Yes, Mr. Knight, mm-hmm. In reading your proposal and also your qualifications, you have a comprehensive list of functions that you can perform dealing with not only engineering but planning and financial services such as audits and finding funding and things like that. I suppose that the general manager would have all those things at his disposal and be very familiar with your company structure to recommend possible, you know, other services that we would require. So I see that as a benefit because it's very expeditious and...
in the electronic age. Thank you.
Mr. Knipe, I have a couple questions.
Yes.
What is your... since your firm is located in Ventura, what is your availability and how does that work? I know some citizens have asked me some questions mm-hmm. about that.
One of the things that we've been doing in the last few days since receiving word of this assignment, which has basically been Saturday night, is working with the team members over the weekend and yesterday to determine their availability, and that is mainly in the evaluation team members. So one of the things that we have done is be able to put the team members together. In fact, one of them will be up here Thursday for the meeting. So we have been able to commit them for this.
Great. And then my other question was, what is your experience in your firm with the formation and coordination with citizen committees? How do you use those with your process?
Actually, I'm of the personal opinion that they're very important. There's no better way to gain, you know, what is the thinking out there and the intelligence and background than through your committees. If I have one firm recommendation for your board is to consider the committees, which I know you're going to be looking at here soon. probably one of the best ways to describe how important they are is that I serve as, for myself, for the last number of years in several cities, as the city engineer. And one of the things that the city engineer is always, I don't want to consider this funny, but I think it's very important, you're always in charge of, you know, fixing the potholes. And it could be anything. You know, maybe it's a leaking water line or valve or whatever. But who are your eyes and ears? It's the community. It's your customers of your district. And their input, I always find very helpful. One of the things is that's very time-consuming on both parts. But from what I've seen of your community, I think they're willing to spend that kind of time.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from the board at this time? Otherwise, we'll open it up to public comment.
I have one more.
Yes, Director Sassini.
You mentioned that you could have someone here Thursday for our next meeting. How soon would we be able to have staff, though, assisting us in the day-to-day operations? How soon would an interim general manager be able to begin service?
Tonight.
Oh. Thank you.
If that's your board's decision.
Yes. Director Tacker?
I just wanted to ask about your... have you worked with community services districts? I noticed that you had a lot of cities, but community services districts are a little bit different creature.
Yes, they are. And the answer is yes. It's not a few that we do work with on a normal basis and provide as their district engineer, if you will. It carries a different title when you're in the city. That same day-to-day function is the city engineer and his staff or the public works director. Here you have a general manager. The city has the counterpart being that. But the answer is yes. Served as the district engineer in a couple of districts our firm has, yes. And me, myself personally.
If there are no other questions from the board at this time, I'd like to open it up to public.
Do you bill? Will you be billing on a... See, this is probably old stuff to you guys, but to me, I'm not sure. Is it like quarterly or monthly? In other words, your progress report, I guess, is what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. I did talk with Mr. Knipe recently about his proposal, and he's suggesting the ballpark figure is a rate of $140 an hour and approximately $24,000 a month. And Mr. Knipe, if you want to come up closer in case more questions are coming, you might want to grab a chair close by in case. Mr. Barrow?
Good evening. My name's Al Barrow. And on page 10 of the report, Wildan report, I noticed that they have expertise at team building. And since there's so many facets that the district... the fire department, the water department, the wastewater department, and other departments. And we do have a retrofit, water retrofit program. and there are a number of engineering companies that have shown an interest in helping Los Osos solve its problems. I was wondering if they would accommodate the team building. That's my first question. My second question is... on page 21 and 22, they have their hourly rate schedule, and they go as low as $45 and as high as $190 on Muni Financial. I don't know that Muni Financial is going to be part of us right now, but Wildan's schedule goes $65 to $165, different rates there. I wonder how many hours that they predict they will be working in these first few months that they're doing business here. Those two questions.
Okay. Mr. Knipe, would you like to answer those or would you like me to take those? Either one. Okay.
In terms of the two questions posed by the first speaker, ballpark range, I think Madam Chair has answered that. The only addition to that is that that's if our position as general manager is up here full-time, the average of, you know, not an average, but 40 hours a week for full 4 weeks of every month. How do we bill? We bill on a monthly basis. Progress reports, take board suggestion in terms of be receiving monthly reports, from your general manager on status of the various aspects of the district's operation. The team building, I think there's two facets that were raised by the second speaker within the district and also within the community. As I mentioned a moment ago, I was asked about community involvement, and I think that's the best way to build that again, so the committee meetings. And also, the interim general manager will be working daily with your staff on a very regular daily basis, and I think that's the best thing to determine. Do I have answers?
Besides sort of supplying everyday practical services in an emergency, basically what we have here is the community is a train wreck, and it's a train wreck on a lot of levels. One of the things that it's possible that an outside consulting firm that literally has no dog in this fight, because right now this community in many ways is like the Hatfields and the McCoys, and neither are speaking to the other. If you have a firm that you have high confidence in their expertise and their neutrality and their honesty to give you information and answers that you can trust, I think starting to build trust is going to have to start probably on very neutral grounds in a process and with information that people can then verify and learn to trust and believe. And that is all going to credibility. So it's possible that a kind of, like I say, someone with no dog in this fight may be able to serve that role in a different way than what we've seen before. So that might be a positive on that way to begin building the community back. And it's especially reviewing existing systems, comparing, and giving people a real solid feel that if they're looking at this item, that, and that, they can trust what they're being told. And I think that might be helpful, too. Thanks.
Would anyone else like to speak? Mr. Dugan? No? Okay. Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I'm just kind of curious, as we're talking just about one interim general manager, but there's also many other facets that this company can offer other expertise. So I think we should realistically look at how many other people are we going to be looking at besides the interim general manager that may have to be employed to kind of, it may not be this $24,000 a month. It may actually be higher than that, and I'd like to know what that is or what that potential is. I think it's important, though some people may disagree, that I think be very interactive with Mr. Buell while he's still here, because he has a lot of information that's in his head that isn't on paper, and I think you need to be able to extract that so that we can get the job done. And I was just curious, is he going to be involved in personnel issues and actually be attending closed sessions when it comes to... No. Interim general manager. No. I said thank you.
Mr. Knipe, could you answer one of those? Do you have anything to add to that? Questions? And then I could have a few comments.
I think I mentioned the cost of the other team members, but how much is that going to cost the district? I don't think I could throw out a very small number, and you'd be disappointed in a very large number and be shocked. And I think at this point the best I can do, would like to do here, is report back in the very near future. It's your board's intent to maybe meet weekly and be back here in a few
questions first. This proposal, it has four different sections here with a number of actions. Now, tonight you're only considering the interim general manager. Is that correct? Or is this, as this proposal reads, it says interim general manager, evaluation of alternatives. It has four or five sections. So tonight you're only doing the one section, which is the interim general manager. Is that correct? Okay. So you're not authorizing any of the other sections within there?
At this time, we need to get an assessment first, and we need to hear a progress report before we can answer completely.
Okay.
It's going to be on an as-needed basis, hourly rate.
All right. So, because the proposal shows all that, but the authorization is just the one. My personal preference is that actually you would fund the evaluation of alternatives section and reinstate your general manager. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who has comments or questions at this time about the proposal?
Gail McPherson, I just want to compliment you on the project team that you picked. I think Julie did some interviewing and did a very good job on this, and I just want to commend you on that. It looks like, based on the first week or so, they will look at the priorities in what we need here and take this general discussion and translate that into what hours are needed for which areas, regulatory compliance, contract, construction issues, funding and financial audits, staffing, perhaps a management study, and the affordability study, which is on the agenda for Thursday. And a look at all the policies and procedures, of course, would be part of that management study. And it just looks like you've got a great team, and I compliment you guys on the work that you've done so quickly to put people in place that can serve the community. And somebody else said it, a speaker, I think it was Ann, said that they come in neutral, and it's really wonderful because of that. We can get a good, fresh look at what we need to do to make the CSD most effective and you guys most successful. Thank you.
I'm about to close public comment unless someone else comes up to the microphone.
Good evening, Madam President. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. This Muni Financial, it's part of this team. It says they'll look at the alternative project and analysis, financial analysis for the project that's proposed, and also alternative projects. And also, I'm wondering if it maybe not too expensive. It shows here in the organization chart here that they do audits too. Will we be able to check what's been going on, and that will be included in the services that they're going to provide? Thank you. Oh, one other thing. Do they do time studies for governance, like our fire department, extra cost to manage a fire department after they already?
There. The interim general manager, 24 hours a week at this point, estimate. At $140 an hour, is that what we're looking at? Okay, so you're looking at just short of $3,500 a week. How many weeks are we looking at for them to be here in the interim basis with no additional services? My concern is $3,500 a week adds up real fast. And I don't think you're going to get it done with 24 hours a week. In the transition and everything that has to be done and all the contacts that have to be made and all the transition of the financial, getting the committees going again. I mean, I take it he's going to be in charge of overseeing all that, correct? Okay. Maybe if we could get some idea of how long you think he's going to be, or this firm's going to be in town, and if you've considered maybe putting a cap on it, a not to exceed at some point or whatever, because, I mean, think about it, $3,500 a week. If he's here a half a year, just that position. And that's without any additional fees. It looks like there's an administrative fee in here of somewhere around 15%. I wish there was a little bit more of an analysis of what the possible cost could be per person, per week or per month or whatever. And I know they're in the initial stages, but I think that would be nice for the community to see at some point. you're in a position kind of now where you have to get something going, and I know your intentions in the future aren't this, but we don't want this at any point to look like it was a sole source contract. And I know you did interviews and that. I just, you know, let's try to get the community as much information on the financial aspect and the financial hit of this as possible. Thank you.
Mr. Fiché.
Richard, thank you for your comments. Yeah, it's expected for the next couple of weeks that a lot of work needs to be done. But what we're trying to do is get a handle on how much work actually needs to be done. And that's our intent. The first couple of weeks, he'll be here 40 hours a week. And then maybe it'll settle down to 25 hours a week after that. But the first couple of weeks, there's going to be additional work that needs to be done. And we're considering that very seriously. As far as the qualifications of Wilden, I can say this now or say it later, but in my day job, I know some local agencies out there that have used Wilden, and they come highly recommended. So we've had our feelers out, and we've talked to several different people and try to make sure that we're making the correct choice. So just please be assured that we're looking and deciding and contemplating and realizing and looking at the numbers on what it's going to take to get us back on our feet in the right direction again. With you guys in mind, we're doing this because we're thinking about you guys. So,
Chairman, I'm sure. But understand that that's not just an hourly wage. That's for the company to give him support and everything, too. So that seems high, but as a consultant, that is... you know, it's final. That's the whole cost. It's not benefits.
I thank the board very much for those comments. I fully agree. The one thing I would add, as far as explanation too, also is that when you see Wildan's hourly rate, it doesn't come with, in addition to, a whole series of just copying costs or mileage, and we'll be putting our people up because we are coming in from out of the area, and that's all in the hourly rate. Those are not addition to. So I just wanted to make note of that for you. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. Does the board have any other questions of Mr. Knipe and Wildan? The only other suggestion, and I have, and we're going to entertain a motion here in a minute, is that until they get in and start working, it's really difficult for us to say how long we're going to need them, how many hours a week we're going to need them. We're going to need an assessment really quick, and I'm going to commit to the board working with Mr. Blesky, who will be our representative, in making sure that we get progress reports really quick and we can report back to you really quick to give you a better idea. But in this interim, they have to get in before we know what their services, how much of their services we'll need. So would anyone on the board like to make a motion to accept? What I have here is, and this is for Mr. McClendon too, I have a contract here, a draft contract, which I would need our attorney to see, and he will be here on Thursday evening to take a look at the contract. And what we would propose is we could adopt, and I would need to ask you, would it be a month at a time or a three-month stint, or what do you recommend right now? How would you recommend at this time without knowing anything yet?
It's an at-will service, so I think, you know, it's a board decision, and I'll leave that in your very capable hands on that and answer any of your other questions.
Could I have a motion from the board?
I'll make the motion to authorize hiring of interim general manager services of Wildan. And that's their whole name, Wildan. Yeah, that's, and we'll add the weekly progress reports until deemed unnecessary. May go monthly later, but right now I think we need weekly progress reports to see where we're at. And it is at will. And so that means that it's as long as we need them to get through the transitional period, and that's what this is, and we're not sure yet. There's no way to know how.
District Interim Council on Telethon here. Telethon. Telecon. It's not Jerry Lewis. It's John McClendon.
Hello.
There he is. And you could say hi. So Mr. McClendon is on the teleconference machine here, and he is listening to everything that's going on this evening. The next item on the agenda is this. It's to, we are very concerned and interested with working with our regional water board on the compliance issues that are involved with this project and our water in Los Osos. And so we have proposed this evening to appoint a regional water quality control board compliance and negotiating team. And we want to direct interim district council, Mr. McClendon, to write letters to both the state water resources control board and the regional water control, regional water quality control board. We are proposing at this time that the negotiating team would be head up by our new interim general manager, and that's Mr. Dan Bleski. So that's what we have at this time, and I'd like to know if the board has any questions or comments or about it first, and then we'll open it up to public comment. This is about the issue of working through compliance issues with the water boards. Director Tacker.
Okay. We're looking at appointing maybe two directors and our staff. We've had some citizen inquiries about this item, and they want to help. And I think what my impression of what this agenda item was to look to our board first, and sort of pick a team, and then we want to institute our wastewater committee as soon as possible, and then maybe from there an ad hoc committee of citizens that can help with this compliance and, you know, whatever letter writing and whatever they think that their expertise and their help will be. So I'm anticipating public comment, and I wanted to kind of narrow it down so that, you know, if you want to make your suggestions, I think we're looking to our board with our staff to then go to the water board.
Do I have any other director comments at this time? Okay. And I'd like to open it up to public comment for questions or concerns or comments, please.
Good evening. Al Barrow. I've talked to a number of wastewater experts who would like to come and assist you in helping you handle the regional board's action. There's a gentleman named Pio Lombardo who is WEFTEC. He's an officer of WEFTEC, which is the largest wastewater organization, WEFTEC. They have a website, and he feels like he can help with those issues. Also think Pentair Pump, that we do what the Orange County did and ask for legislation to give us time to deal with these issues in a comfortable manner. So, again, I would ask you that you would accept some of these other engineering companies who feel like they can help. Pio Lombardo knows Dr. Sabanaglis. He's spent last week in Florida with Graham Knowles, National On-Site Demonstration Program, and those people would like to help us. Thank you.
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. Do you know if Mr. McClendon would be part of the negotiating team that would go in with the meetings and into the negotiation meetings? It seems to indicate he'll just write letters, but I might, you know, whether he will be actually in the room as part of the team might be helpful.
Mr. McClendon, are you available to be part of the team and interested to be part of the team? Is this part of your expertise and work?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can everybody hear him? A little bit of feedback.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question about being part of the team?
Yes. Mr. McClendon, would you be willing to be part of this Water Quality Control Board compliance negotiating team, as well as write the letters to the Regional Water Board? Are you available, and is this part of your area of expertise?
I could take on, and assuming they allow lawyers in the room, I negotiate.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ms. Panic.
Hi, Board. Peggy Pavic, Los Osos. This just is off the press today from the Regional Water Quality Board. And it states here, it's the preference of the State Water Resources Control Board to work together with interested parties to develop solutions to problems rather than playing an adversarial role. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then also, per Ted Cobb, Associate Chief Counsel for the State Water Board, he states today, it's very unlikely that people would be forced from their homes due to these new state septic tank plans situations. So I thought that was good news.
Thank you for the information. If you could pass a copy to the board later for our use, that'd be great.
Mrs. Pavic, I have already passed it on to Mrs. Vega, and she's going to make copies for the entire board.
Great. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak or have any questions about this matter?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I don't believe there's going to be any negotiations. I believe the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the State Water Resource Board, and all their little underlings are probably waiting to stump on the CSD. The letters. We know what happened with letters just before World War II. Mr. Neville found out. They don't care about any letters. They want compliance. They're going to play hardball. And we can play footsie with these guys, but they don't respect that. You need to negotiate from a custom to assure us that nobody's going to be turned out of their homes or anybody else. Be very careful. Trust, but verify. Thank you.
Honorable Board, staff, friends, and friends at home, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. Congratulations on taking your rightful place up there at the dais. I'd like to comment on this issue. First of all, this State Water Board pin was given to me by the State Water Resource Control Board in Sacramento 2 months ago when I was up there. And I was interacting with staff on the issue of the WWWDR, which is the watershed-wide waste discharge requirement. And a precedent was set. I think I mentioned that here once. A precedent was set against Pacific Lumber, and they stopped them from logging in two watersheds, the Freshwater and the Elk River. And what this means is it is now a mandate statewide that waste discharge be dealt with on a watershed-wide basis. That is your mandate, not imaginary fines by the regional board. Now, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, in and of itself, on the Central Coast, is rife with conflict. Okay, I don't care what they're doing in Pismo Beach. They are in no position to be fining you here and now. Let me tell you why. First of all, they're not going to be able to fine you for not having a project underway. There is a project underway. The streets are dug up all over the place. Okay? Now, simply because a bad project was begun and nature's natural filters were removed, which is really a drainage basin for the estuary, that doesn't mean that we haven't moved forward. A lot of the work that has been done would have had to been done anyway. Further, How are you going to be fined for nitrate pollution in the upper aquifer when the upper aquifer hasn't really been tested? If it hasn't been tested, no one knows what's there. And if you don't know what's there, you don't know what used to be there. The Wade Brim detailed study of the San Luis Obispo County nitrate sampling program was completely ignored. Yet it showed definitively that at least 7 of 10 test wells had no sanitary seal required by law. And in fact, some of those test wells themselves, like CSA-9, for example, were found to be sources of nitrate pollution in the upper aquifer. Now, I urge this board to move forward and set yourselves up with what you know is probably going to be a far superior setup for this community into the future. I'm the author of the ABC plan. I spent more time out on that corner than we have left until the next legislative session, when I expect legislation to be introduced that will shield you from fines as long as you go regional full tertiary. I thank you for this opportunity to address
the regional board, because you have to create that bridge with them and introduce yourselves and show that you are competent, you know what you're talking about, and that you do want to do something for this community. You want to save money for this community. And I believe you guys can do it. I have all the faith in the world. I'm even considering CCLO doing another ride-a-thon to help you guys in your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment at this time?
Good evening again. Gail McPherson. I guess I'm just kind of recapping where we are on enforcement, just for the public, because, you know, it's an important part of the public knowing where we're at and what might be the realities. Because of experience of working with regional boards in the past, I think that it's important to keep in mind that I think somebody used the word footsie. I don't think anybody plays footsie with their regulators. But I can say that that the threats of retroactive fines, which was brought to us by a past director, Richard LeGros, was something that came up as part of an election effort. But it doesn't mean that that's completely something that they might not do. Certainly, they could enforce over the years. In 2000, the regional board issued the time schedule order 00131, which identified date-specific compliance conditions. The district project never met the compliance date specified. They never met the projected costs that they promised the community or the specified technology. And the project then failed to meet environmental concerns and project goals for water resources. Based on that, we're here today, 5 years later. Contrary to the public perception, it's well documented that most of the cost increases were the in-town plant were based on location, and they're directly attributable to the major project modifications that occurred, including the high construction costs due to soil and site conditions and the selection of technology and the facility location. Based on those changes and what was called by the Coastal Commission as bait and switch on some of the amenities, I think that we have a really good case to appeal on the time. The regulatory agencies have helped to stifle the public process. We didn't find out until 2005 or late 2004 that the costs were going to be over $200 a month. They were promised at $38 a month and some change. The application for the state revolving fund loans had public outcry. We presented a protest and asked them not to increase those funds and allow us to go back and value engineer or change the location. That didn't happen. And then they helped to perpetuate the perception among the decision makers at EPA and the state that these were just a small group of dissidents and they would handle us and get this to go away. That we proved to be in a majority. And this is all, this is history, and I just wanted to make sure that the public and maybe our new general manager is aware of that. But I don't think that we can ignore the fact that at this point, with
invested in a project. And it could be enough to make the courts or other people think that maybe they've put too much into this project and we should go forward. I just want to make everyone aware of the fact that that's not a reality, that that would be a threat, and that would be something that we would have to deal with and negotiate with that board. I believe the saber rattling before the election was really clear, that they wanted to set up a situation where they could start adding up all of the investment in this project and say that we've gone too far. We've gone over the point of no return. And if we did want to stop, that in fact they would go through a process of taking the project through a nearly bankruptcy or bankrupting the CSD, and then Bianchi would be right. The county would take over. So I just want to kind of go through that scenario with you at another time and go through what I think are ways to shield us from some of this and also get the message out to the public to hang tight. You voted on something. There's a way to move the sewer, and you stay with us, and we'll do it. And that was, you know, pretty much what I needed to say. And thank you for donating time. Thanks.
Director Tacker?
Just to piggyback on what Mrs. McPherson said, first of all, I don't want to give Mrs. Bianchi any credit for thinking that the county could just take over. That would take a vote of the people to hand a project back. And I don't know an engineer in the county public works department that would be willing to stamp this project. Downtown was never considered by the county. Two environmental impact reports were drawn for wastewater projects in Los Osos by the county of San Luis Obispo. Both rejected the downtown site. So just because there was a whole lot of election propaganda that said that that might or most likely would happen, I don't believe it ever will. So I just want to set that straight. Mrs. McPherson was also referencing a lawsuit that was filed in the Superior Court on Monday that talked about a whole lot of might expenses. We might get fined. We might have contractors sue us. We might, and huge figures were thrown about as if that was the investment this community had in this project. We got a letter today. Whitaker Contractors progress shows that we are at about $788,000. That's just one part of the project. So that doesn't seem like a whole lot invested in the wrong project. I have some more comments, but I just wanted to piggyback on what she was saying because I don't want this community to be afraid. Thank you.
Anybody else? Would you like to speak, sir?
Don Bearden.
That meeting, your three directors, Julie Tacker, Lisa Shooker, and Chuck Sassena, were the three directors that were there. You were told what those enforcement alternatives were, and you can still read the report. I don't think you listened very well. One of the options against the Los Osos CSD was to enforce a time schedule. And they said at that time we could be fined over $7 million. And this is a year and something later, and the figure that Gail McPherson came up with, $11 million, that's just about where we're at. They can do that. They also have other options. They can do individual property owners. One of the things they can do on an individual property owner is do a cease and desist order, which could prohibit discharge after a certain date. That means you would have to quit putting any septic or any sewage into your septic tank, and you would have to bring in porta potties, and you would no longer use your septic tank. They could force you to do that. Or another one is cleanup and abatement orders. They could require twice weekly pumping of your septic tanks and quit putting any water out into the environment anymore from your septic tanks. They also could do a federal or state takeover of the wastewater project. And the two ones mentioned in the report were the California Department of Water Resources or the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And I think they could also allow the county to take it over. And I think they might do that. It's just my opinion. The county is already inspecting this work that's going on, I assume, since it's done in the county. And all they would do is have to hire a general manager and just continue on and not let the CSD have anything more to do with it. I'm wrong, because I would like to avoid the fines. Thank you very much.
Director Tacker? I appreciate that you read the staff report. Some of us enjoy reading staff reports. It appears that you read the pros of enforcement. There were cons to enforcement. Most of them were about feasibility. And having every septic tank pumped twice a week is infeasible. We don't have enough haulers. We don't have enough places to take it. And it costs a lot of money. So that's one example. 5,000, what do you call them? Individual toilets or the, no, I'm porta potties. Blue rooms. I'm sure there's lots of names. Finding 5,000 porta potties. I think Louisiana's using quite a lot of those right now. So that's infeasible. And again, the regional board is not to be punitive on a community. It's obvious this community is trying to fix its problem. We hit a roadblock with a downtown location. And I hope that the two members of the board that...
And then just a quick additional thing. If you want to watch the County Board of Supervisors, General Manager David Edge once again clarified, and it has been mentioned again tonight, it takes a vote of the people to dissolve the CSD or get rid of the project. We're just not interested in doing it. They're not interested in taking it. They voiced that very clearly just about 3 weeks ago. Director Cicinia.
That was also the conclusion of the regional board in that staff report when they talked about fining the CSD. It would do no good to fine the CSD. That would most likely result in bankruptcy and possibly a return of the project to the county, which would not speed things up. Not feasible. Not going to happen. In terms of issuing 5,000 individual cease and desist orders, they have to come out and test every tank and prove that those tanks are polluting. They don't have the staff to come out. And I don't want that to be thrown down as a challenge to them. I live in a very high groundwater area. I'd probably be the first one they would come after. I don't think they're a paper tiger. Some people are throwing that sort of language around. This is a very serious issue. Pollution of our groundwater is a very serious issue, and we're going to solve it. We're just not going to solve it by building a wastewater treatment plant in the middle of town that threatens people with losing their houses.
Director Sennett.
Thank you. Most of us bought our houses thinking that they worked properly, that they were built under permit, that the county inspected them, that engineers designed them, and that they would have a reasonable reliability that we could expect. My house was built somewhere around 1987, a full 4 years after the cease and desist order was issued. Now, that claim that the town was polluting, that the septic tanks and the leach fields were contributing to this problem. How did the county rationalize, and how did the Regional Water Quality Control Board authorize people to build defective homes and collect taxes on them? I'm going to see my title insurance company if they're going to condemn my house. Or else I'll have the county, I'll take an inverse condemnation claim. I doubt it'll come to that. I hope it will not. But they're going to have a lot of angry people in this community if they can't see that. This isn't a situation that we created. Thank you.
Any other public comment, please?
I'll be short. Correct. I don't believe they can be punitive. And when you go to negotiate, I've already said this, I definitely want Chuck to be part of the team. And as far as getting the community behind you, negotiating is a back and forth. And I think the first time they come with a proposal, you're not happy with it.
Bottom line here, and if we can start writing letters and voicing our personal opinions on what we think should go on here to the water board, I think that would really be helpful also. Now, I did go on their website, and some of the people aren't pictured on there, and I just wonder if maybe you have a list somewhere that we can get that we could start writing letters to. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and there are quite a few citizens groups, and we're going to get more involved with our committees, but that's a wonderful idea, and we'll help that happen. Yes, thank you. Director Sins.
I'd like to add something to that. That is a wonderful idea, Pat. And all of you that do contact the Regional Water Quality Control Board, identify yourself as a yes on the recall voter. That way we'll show them that it's not 80% of the people who want to move the sewer just don't want a sewer. You heard that from a past director. I don't know where that number came from except between some... Never mind. That is not true, and we need to demonstrate that to the board. We all want to solve this problem. We just don't want it with a factory that produces sludge in the middle of town.
Please come up. Mr. Sennett, excuse me.
I just had one more comment about letter writing, and that is to let your elected officials know about it, because they're the ones that truly affect how we legislate and respond to these crises. The regional board has limitations, and we see that. They have a posture, they have a process that they go through, but there is representation out there that you can appeal to, and perhaps they can affect some resolution in this matter. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I know this is a little early on in the process, but I think we always have question, too, whether a moratorium in a prohibition zone actually addressed a whole water basin problem. And I wonder if, as we go through these processes of working through not being fined and getting cooperation with them to actually do what needs to be done to clean up our basin, if we can't also bring that discussion back to the table, because I think that many issues have come up in the, you know, the 17, 18 years that we've been in a prohibition zone, and I still don't think that they've been addressed enough, and so I would love to have that just be in the back of everybody's minds up there as you deal with them, to see if we couldn't look at this more as a watershed issue than just a circle around a group of houses in town. Thank you.
That's great. If anybody else would like to speak, I'm about to close public comment on this item. Would you like to come up? Come up, sir. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, if you'd like to speak, come on up now and get in line, and we'll wrap this up. We're going to keep our meetings moving quick and get lots of business
Peter
done.
Brewer, Los Osos. I did real quick try to talk to Central Coast Water Control Board. Someone named Sorrel Marks had a series of facts, which basically was pro sewer downtown, the whole thing. And okay, fine, you know. So I'm sorry, you know, and recommending that one system. And I asked her, well, why didn't you do any kind of study? I mean, some kind of cost-benefit study to see what would the right system be for everybody. I mean, not just, you know, one system. It could be several types of systems, and maybe you can mix and match. And no answer, you know, just null space. And even tried to center the document, but that bounced. So anyway, thank you.
It's valuable information. I'm closing public comment. I see no more speakers. Here's what I'm thinking for our proposal. My idea, and need board input on this discussion, is we're going to direct the interim general manager to head up a team. We're looking for board volunteers to be liaison and allow him that ability to structure the team for what he thinks would be beneficial. And we'd ask Mr. McClendon to join the team as well. Do I have any other comments or questions from the board? Are you willing volunteers? Several community members suggested John and Chuck, and there'll be plenty for the rest of us to do. But how do you feel about that?
I'd be more than willing to take on the challenge. And I would absolutely like to include legal on that team, along with the interim general manager, and hopefully Chuck will join me. And we'll take the input from the community any way we can via committees, letters to us, letters to them, whatever way, any input we can get from the community to take with us, we'll do that. But a small team to do face-to-face negotiations and committee, we need to get formed as quickly as we can, but what we need to do first is get a letter to them to make them understand that we haven't forgotten about them, that we are concerned about our water quality, and we are going to address that issue. But we want to have a little bit of time to get things sorted out first, and then we're going to go to work quickly with the community's input, of course. And so, yes, I'm willing to take the challenge.
Director Sasania?
I would be proud to represent this community before the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And no, you're not chopped liver, Steve. We'll find something for you to do.
Well, you know, I don't want to shirk any responsibility, and I'm willing to help you. And I know I have a good skill editing letters and really tightening things up. I feel I have a lot to add, and I'd be happy to assist.
Great. Yes, that's great. Thank you. As you know, as you know, we have Brown Act issues, and so normally if we're going to appoint any ad hoc committees, it has to be two members or less because of the Brown Act issues. They wouldn't be able to constructively meet together. It'd always be an issue. So we're suggesting two members only for that reason. We all would love to help, and we'd love your help as well. So that's the reason for it, if you were wondering. And I'm ready to entertain a motion. Mr. McClendon, do you have anything to add? Pardon me.
No, other than that's correct. Brown Act issues you identified.
Okay, thank you. And so the motion,
you guys, too much about it. I would like you to convey that I would prefer my park without a sewer plant.
Any other discussion at this time? Mrs. Vega?
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
Director Sasina?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for your valuable input on that item. The last item is just pretty, it's just administrative, but we need to do this in public. The new directors need to be signatories on all the district bank accounts. And a resolution is prepared, I understand, and that's really all it is. It's just so we have all signatories on all accounts so we can pay our bills. So is there any public comment on this item? Board discussion first? Any questions? Any public comment on this item? That's pretty administrative, but if anyone would like to speak, okay. I'm going to close public comment on this item, and I need to entertain a motion. Pardon me. Any further discussion on the board? Mrs. Vega, do you have the resolution over there? Would you like to read it?
It's very long.
Oh, maybe we don't need to. Do we
title,
need to read it?
You have the title, too, but I'd be glad to read it. It's the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Services District adding incoming directors Chuck Sasina, John Fouché, and Steve Sennett, deleting outgoing directors Stan Gustafson, Gordon Hensley, Richard LeGros, and General Manager Bruce Buell.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve new signatories for all district bank accounts and district safety deposit box.
Second.
Mrs. Vega.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Cicena.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Thank you very much. This evening, we have allowed for a general public comment, which we normally don't do at special meetings, but we have allowed that this evening. We'd like to take a short recess, and if you'd like to speak again, you're welcome to do that. We'd like to have some signature cards and come on up to the front. Otherwise, a 5 to 10 minute break. Thank you.
Okay, so you don't need that.
Okay. Everybody, we're starting general public comment, and the first speaker is Beth King, followed by Lyman Ellis. Please step up to the microphone. Is Beth King here? If Beth King's here, could you step up? If not, Lyman Ellis, would you please come up? I'll put your slip in the back. Try again.
Greetings. I apologize for my voice, my left vocal cord last Tuesday. I appreciate their service. Second, I congratulate the three new directors on their election. Third, I ask that no action be taken that would increase the cost of the sewer project above that which has been authorized already, unless there is a requirement that cannot be changed. Also, I ask that no action be taken that would lose any grant money from the state or the county or the federal government or from any other source. Fourth, I suggest that the board and its designees determine whether or not any action taken by the board of directors that would increase the cost of the sewer project above that already authorized can be referred to the voters for approval or rejection by means of a referendum. Fifth, it would be good to know for sure if the individual directors have any financial liability in the event that the board does take action that would increase the cost of the sewer project above that already authorized. And finally, I thank each of you for your service to the community. Signed, Lyman Bruce Ellis.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ellis. Joey Riccano, are you still here, Joey? Mr. Riccano? How about Ms. Pavick? Peggy Pavick, are you here to speak? Here she comes. Next speaker would be Dottie Hammond. Next speaker after that would be Sylvia Neller.
Good evening, board, again. Peggy Pavick, Los Osos. As elected and hired representatives of all residents in Los Osos, the CSD board and staff need to investigate alternative wastewater systems. You need to pay attention to the best interests of all residents. Prudence requires as much information as possible be gathered by asking questions. Claims by Mr. Buell and past board members that the current proposed plan represents due diligence isn't supported by fact. The board and staff must seek alternatives that could substantially lower costs. Taxpayers deserve no less. To learn what the best, safest, and most cost-effective system would be for our area, you need to talk with these firms that have the requisite expertise, such as Environment One, Orenco, Airvac, etc. on their websites each claim that their systems cost half or less of gravity systems. Any project selected must be Prop 218 compliant. And I urge all residents to join LADA by calling 528-1224. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hammond? Next would be Sylvia Neller. Next would be Al Barrow.
Madam President and Board, my name is Don. Not be part of public comment. Public comment should be from the person themselves. And thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Sylvia Neller, followed by Al Barrow, followed by Beth King.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Neller from Cuesta by the Sea. And a while back, I had addressed and stamped at least 700 envelopes and cards and postcards. And I know I was going for a goal of 1,000. They were addressed to the governor, to Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and Lois Capps. The envelopes, they have stationery inside of them. They're real pretty, colorful, sweet, charming, whatever. And they're available to this community if you want to use them in letter writing campaign. The other campaign never materialized, and I just held on to them. And so that's what I want to say. Any way that I can help, you know I have a truck too, and you have my phone number.
Thank you. Beth King, followed by Joey Ricano, followed by Gail McPherson. Al Barrow, excuse me, I'm sorry. Next after Al.
Thank you. I think it's really important that we do get some alternative numbers, some solid numbers from some solid companies. And as you know, I've been working for an alternative step collection system since August of 2000. And I've talked to a lot of people. There's a lot of numbers flying around. Don't take my word for it. I just had a suggestion from Steve Sennett that I ask for California numbers. And that was what I based my numbers on, was Tidwell's directional boring numbers for a step collection system. Keeping in mind to the public that 70% of the cost of a sewer is collection system. That is where the big numbers are. And if we can cut those numbers down, we can do a great service to the community. And I would ask you, all you board members, to consider that Pentair Pumps came to town today. They did a tour of the sites. They did a tour of the community. They've four eyeballs looking at the town. And they went back, and they're going to go to their managers. And they're proposing that Delta Environmental, who they just bought out, come to town with their executive, some of the other executives, and give you a short workshop presentation at one of your meetings in the very near future. Probably be 2 weeks would be the earliest that they could probably put that together. However, they will send the numbers that they think the step collection ship would cost, and I'll forward that to you tomorrow or the next day. So that is one point. We also have another engineering company named Pio Lombardo Associates, who would like to come and help with some of these things. I really think Pentair Pumps is a very deserving company, over $10 billion with $3 billion in sales every year. They do low-pressure collection systems all over. They have a 10,000-unit step collection system in St. Lucie, Florida right now that they're building. And I would ask that you would accommodate them, let them come and give their presence.
Beth King, Joey Ricano, Gail McPherson, and then David Dugan after Gail, and Richard Margetson after David Dugan. Gail McPherson, would you like to speak? Oops, I forgot Keith.
Hi, I know that your new management team handles 218 issues, and I was hoping that some of the issues that was brought up by LADA, the Los Osos Taxpayers Association, might be reviewed, and I'm sure that they will be since there is a lawsuit pending and it could be settled if the board chooses to take a look at 218 and what's going on there and if that was violated. I did want to just bring up a couple of things that happened today. I went to the courthouse, and I noticed that there's a new group. Of course, you saw this maybe in the paper, led by ex-director Hensley and ex-director Gustafson. They filed a temporary restraining order, and it was brought up earlier by someone else, and used district staff to help them do the legal servicing, handing out the documents and all of that. I'm disturbed by the fact that our staff is involved with allowing ex-directors into the office, and I hope that there will be some kind of a gatekeeper to assure that our records and our staff time isn't being used to aid and assist this new group that seems to be working against this board and stopping the project from being built in the middle of town. Today, a continuance was granted until Friday, and I just wanted to note that this is also before Judge Hilton. The ousted board's new group is called Taxpayer Watch. They've been going door to door and tabling at the stores and calling around to get signatures to help support the restraining order to get the project spending going again. And so it seems amazing that it's a last-ditch attempt, evidently, to make it impossible for Los Osos to go back. And I guess my biggest concern is that I want the public to know that there was a vote, the people did speak, and that should be honored, at least on some levels. The worst part is that regardless of being recalled, regardless of the ultimate cost to us, regardless of the vote, Measure B, regardless of a desire they have to actually bankrupt the CSD, they're willing to risk all of that, and I think we must resist them. It's a strategy of bankrupting the CSD, or at least based on this project, and I just want to make sure that the public realizes that they have no legal standing for their actions, and that the team that we've hired can provide some assistance in that area, and that and I hope that on Friday people are aware that there is a court date. We'll be here Thursday to support you and support the project as we move it forward and out of town. Thank you.
Afternoon, and the only thing that staff did to facilitate any of that was to make copies and immediately deliver them to the doorsteps of each of you yesterday so that you would know as soon as possible that this had happened. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Vega. I'd just like to make one clarification, and we have talked about this today with staff. The service was not a legal service. It wasn't a date-stamped, official, legal method of serving. It was a bringing of a document to the district. And that is a clarification that the citizens must know. There was nothing formal about it. Director Fouché?
I'd just like to ask our legal, John, to address the fact that... Is he gone?
We can call him.
Okay, we'll ask about that. But I was curious about the fact that an ex-director served the new board a legal notice. I have an issue with that. I'd like to get some further clarification on how that went down and why it went that way.
Yes, and Mr. McClendon had to leave us off the telephone, but we will address that question on Thursday night. I think that's a question that needs to be answered. Any other director comments? David Dugan, please. Followed by Keith Swanson, followed by Richard Margetson.
David Dugan, Los Osos. I know why. I know all about Gordon. But we won't talk about that tonight. I'm worried about committees, the makeup of the committees, whether or not they've been determined already. When is this board going to allow people to sign up to be on committees? Are they going to use an old sign-up sheet or whatever they use? I'm a little worried about staff that hasn't done anything to be dismissed for. I think that's a concern at the CSD office. I'd like to say again, I wish whoever is calling the hotline and leaving obscene phone calls to Faith Watkins to listen to, that they'd quit. And when this board was certified, I was amazed how quickly it was done. It's amazing because all it would have took was to slap on a certification on April 28th and 29th and May 3rd to the petitions that had been validated for the recall election. And we lost 29 days to the bulldozers because somebody, an elected official, failed to do their duty. I think perhaps they've shown us that they can do the job quickly. And the question still needs to be answered is why we had to wait for our election by 29 days. And I'm sure I'll get an answer real soon. I've been asking questions, and it's coming together. Thank you.
Keith Swanson, followed by Richard Margeson. If there's anyone else who would like to speak, bring a speaker card up or come on up and get in line.
Majority of this community behind them and did it anyways in spite and then found out, and so then they continue the war, and they're not even giving you guys an opportunity to figure this all out and taking away the potential for negotiating everything and saving this community money. I just can't believe that anybody in this town can support what these guys have done to this community just to win. And then they lost. And then they left this with you. A suggestion that I would make is that you can have a volunteer group. You don't have to have the water department take down the signs around the community, the resource park. It will not happen. I think Stan's fear, and probably Gordon's fear, as well as Richard's fear, is that you guys are going to succeed. Just like you, this community did with the fire tax, we're going to succeed at this as well. Because you guys care. I just don't understand those guys at all. And I think in wrapping it up, quote from a couple songs is, "The dream is over, get over it."
Richard Margeson, followed by Chris Allaby and Daniela and Arnon after that.
Stan, Richard, and Gordon, they haven't lost. They don't believe they've lost. They don't believe that they've been replaced. By their actions today at the courthouse, trying to tell this community now it's your fault that we're incurring the magical $218,000 a day for stopping the work. At what point are they going to look in the mirror and remember they went to the state in January, didn't ask for a cap on the loan, didn't ask for it to even be considered by the state board, that maybe we could have put a cap on this and saved this community some money in the long run whenever the project was built. Project went out to bid at the bidders conference. They portrayed the rift in the community as a small minority. I think the bidders were deceived. The bids came in 46% over. Didn't send them out to rebid. Didn't listen to district engineer. And when it came to the point where a recommendation would have been coming out of the finance committee, what happened? Finance committee, all committees were dissolved. Couldn't get that last recommendation out before the public, so they can always say, well, the recommendation from the finance committee was not to stop the project, or was not to go out to rebid the final decision, because we never got there. The recall signatures were collected. It was put on a ballot. Probably the most disgusting thing I've heard is after the court hearing today, leaving the courthouse, the comment that, well, by Friday, that's another $800,000 they're costing us. That's total denial, folks. Total denial. And at some point, this community needs to realize that they're what got us to this position. Those three and the old board is in that courtroom today. The only people that authorized the work to proceed were Stan and Gordon. Richard wasn't there. It wasn't Lisa and Julie. And I'm hoping it's not going to be the remainder of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Daniela Arnon and Chris Allaby.
Good evening, Director Schicker and members of the board. I'm Daniela Arnon, citizen of Los Osos. Congratulations to all of you and to all of us, to all of Los Osos. This is a win for the people, a win for sustainability, a win for future generations, and honest government and proper watershed management. I was hoping that the CSD3 would leave honorably and gracefully, and maybe that was too much to ask. I feel that they are sore losers. In Santa Cruz, citizens are asked to participate in the future vision of their community. They're asked to come and speak. What is your vision for our town? Santa Cruz is using biodiesel in their city buses. And I think that Los Osos wants to do that too. So I think when Mr. Dugan is wondering about committees, it's my understanding that everyone is welcome to join the committees if I'm thinking about the right committees. There will be citizen committees, and anyone can join. So Los Osos has spoken. I still think that the CSD3 need to understand better the principles of ecological design. There's a book called Principles of Ecological Design by Art Ludwig, who lives in Santa Barbara. Be some good reading. And I'm so happy that we have an honest CSD and an environmentally preferred CSD for our state-of-the-art, highly efficient wastewater project out of town. Thank you.
Chris Allaby, followed by Lindy Owen.
Chris Allaby, Los Osos. Richard kind of beat me to the punch here. I was going to talk about costs. Trenches and all that they're digging out there has to cost a lot more than a step system where you're going down maybe 2 feet, 24 inches. And what they did to the landscape here is just a crime. I think an investigation should be made in the bidding process. I don't know how secret it was or anything, but it seems to me there's certainly some collusion involved. That should be investigated. In fact, I feel every single source bid that's been conducted by the previous board should be looked into. Every one. They gave their general manager the power to write $5,000 checks and hand them out like chocolate chip cookies. So I'm sure you folks aren't going to do the same. But there certainly should be, and I'm not just talking about retaliation here. There's some, there's just a lot of things financially that don't make sense, and there's a lot of people in line to benefit from it. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Chris. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I just wanted to, again, I don't think it's been said enough because I don't think we can ever stop saying it, but I wanted to thank Julie and Lisa for being brave and courageous and having the vision, and then the three new board members have definitely stepped up to a battle line that probably many people would run from. But anyway, I do believe the vision that I see in the future is that the realtors and developers in this town are going to have nothing but profits that they thought that maybe a conventional sewer would bring them sooner. And I think their profits will manifest in time, and I think they just need to have the patience to understand that people want to live in a healthy, sustainable, green, livable community. There aren't many around, and we have that opportunity, and I think you five will bring it for us. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your comments. We're going to wrap up the meeting with director comments and announcements, starting with Director Tacker. Do you have anything to add tonight? How about Director Fouché? Anything to add? Director Sennett?
It's before 10 o'clock and we're done. So that's refreshing, and I'd like to thank all of you for coming tonight. The positive statements were their energy for us, and we need them. Thank you.
Director Sasanian.
I'd just like to reiterate what Steve said. The recharge of our batteries comes from you people talking to us, letting us know what's going on and encouraging us. And keep asking the tough questions, the same questions you would ask any other board. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just have a few quick comments. Thursday night, we're having another meeting. It's starting at 6 p.m. We've made a commitment to keep these meetings shorter for your sake and ours. The tentative plan is to meet from 6 to 10 p.m. in open session and from 10 to 11 in closed session. The idea, I'd probably say, to donate to the Low Income Assistance Fund. We thought that might be a nice idea. And so we're interested in groups that might want to come forward, and we'll work that out as we go. And you can contact Mrs. Vega in the office to arrange if it's going to be your group so she can keep track of that. So with that, I say thank you and good night. We're adjourned.